With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Hello and welcome, dear listener, to this week's EvoStick Extra. My name is Ben Hughes, and coming up in this week's show, we'll be previewing all of this weekend's big matches with John Dunham from the Northants Telegraph. We'll be looking back at all the results from the past week with James Hayes, and we'll be hearing post-match reaction from the management at Stafford Rangers, Colville Town, Nantwich Town and Spennymoor Town. Plus, later in the show, we'll be hearing from Blyth Sparta's manager Alan Armstrong. All of that and loads more on this week's EvoStick Extra. But we're hitting the ground running this week as we're heading over to Tuesday night at Nantwich Town for Nantwich against Blyth Spartans.
So, welcome everyone to Tuesday evening here at the Weaver Stadium, in brackets, the Dabba Dome. And we're here for the top of the league, top of the table clash between Nantwich Town and Blyth Spartans. And I'm here with the beautiful Swamper. Hello, Swamper.
Good evening, Ben. Did you say the Dabba Dome?
It's not matter, it's what Phil Parkinson calls it.
It's a beautiful idea. It's like, you know, expecting prehistoric monsters to start walking around the ground, although we're... Yeah, we are here, and it's, well...
Cagey.
It is very cagey. It's one apiece as we speak. We've just got some other half-time results, which are, well, you know, 5-0 at the moment to Ashton away at Skem, and a whole host of... I think Corby are winning.
Spennymoor are winning.
But here it's been an interesting game. Two teams very evenly matched. Sort of like... Cagey's probably the right word, because they've been testing each other out, really, and that opening goal for Blyth again, it's not necessarily the run of play, but... out of nothing, a great, great strike from Armstrong, and then you've got an equalising goal, an overhead kick in the penalty area, and well, to say that the goalkeeper from Blyth is probably the second smallest man on the pitch is an understatement. He's making Sean Cook look quite big, but what a piece at half time and an interesting game. You can see why these teams are right up there, can't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we coming into this, obviously we don't know the results from Tuesday evening, but we certainly know the results from Saturday, and it is a very, very important match this between Nantwich and Blyth Spartans, because Nantwich do have a game in hand, and the gap is still 10 points from what it was last week, and that's because Ilkeston 2, Nantwich Town 3, whilst at the same time up at Croft Park, Blyth Spartans 4, Skelmersdale United 0. And it's looking like, because I think Stourbridge got beat on Saturday 3-1 against Workington.
Yeah,
they did bounce back on
last night,
but with the games played now, it's looking likely that if anyone's going to catch Blyth, it's going to be Nantwich. So the next 45 minutes in this one's pivotal.
Well, it is, yeah, it is pivotal as well. And if Nantwich can get the result, that's you know, that helps them dramatically. But also, you know, they've still got a game in hand over Stourbridge, so they can separate themselves a little bit between those two. Because, as I say, we believe that second and third place, that's what Nantwich and at the moment Stourbridge are fighting for, with Warrington and Workington and Whitby and Spennymoor and Grantham and Buxton and all the way down, really, probably as far as Barwell. No, second half is a big, big, important 45 minutes for both teams, really. Blyth will want to carry on winning ways, you know, keep that 10 points if they can. One all, it'll still be 10 points if it finishes like that. But, no, I mean, you know, Nantwich, they'll be looking to secure 3 points here if they can.
And you mentioned it there. Obviously, the top three is the top three at the moment. I don't think anyone's going to break into that top three now from below. But Warrington are giving it a good go. Warrington, it's a shame Roy's not here, isn't it, really? Warrington beat Sutton Coldfield Town away from home. And we were talking last week at Drillsden about the 3G pitch being a factor there at Sutton Coldfield. The fact that, you know, Sutton Coldfield isn't the best of places to go to at the moment if you need 3 points. Warrington have gone there and got a very professional 1-0.
Yeah, certainly have, and we said Sutton are going to be that team that are going to determine a few teams in the higher parts of the division this season, and coming towards the end of it, no one really fancy going down there. But good result for Warrington. They're proving everyone wrong. They've sneaked into fourth spot, they've stayed there now, and as I say, they played 39 games, so it's not a huge amount of difference between the two or three clubs below them. But at the same time, the team
they've done it now, haven't they?
No, have they yet done it, Ben? No,
no, I mean, but they put themselves in there.
There's no,
you know, like Roy's been a bit dismissive of them over the last month as they've gradually climbed up the table.
You ask us every single month on the show and every week now who's going to win the league or who's going to top five. So we've given our top five now. Warrington, I don't think, figured in that, but fair play to them. If they do, they'll be there on merit. And you know, at the moment, they're sticking in there at 65 points. But there's a lot of teams in around. I mean, the one team to look out for is probably Spennymoor, you know, 35 games.
It looks like they're going to get 3 points tonight.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that they're in a good winning ways again and working to have climbed the table this season as well. They're 64 points. So, again, there's opportunities for two or three teams. And as I say, there's a group of seven or eight that will be all looking at each other, seeing who can get the vital wins at the important moments of the season. And we're coming up to that time now where there's still quite a lot of games to go. But from our perspective, from everybody else's, they're all good footballing teams, and they've all got strategy. Workington have one thing in favour, I suppose, in the fact that going up there is a long, arduous journey. Same with Spennymoor, but equally, you could say them travelling is detriment to them as well. But at the moment, they're proving everyone wrong.
Well, on Saturday, Workington beat Stourbridge by 3-1, and we spoke to Gary Hackett last week. They left on Friday night. Get up there, so you know it's, but it still didn't help them. Workington again proving what exactly?
Well, you know, Workington have been the nearly men for the last two or three seasons now, and they're in a good position where they are at this moment in time. So it'll be interesting to see the next two or three games for Workington. They're not sneaked in there. They're just slowly but surely been played. It's a hotbed of football up there. You know, they've got passion as they have at Blyth, and they have a Spennymoor and Stourbridge. I mean, you know, as you say, Stourbridge went up the night before, and it shows at this stage of the season the professionals of these clubs are approaching games and having to sort of like make sacrifices by going a day early, because they know the importance of that. This division is a great division to be in, but the next level is where they're all aiming to get there this season, and they'll be in good company with a lot of other good teams in the Conference North for next season. But you know, we'll have to see. Tonight's results are all going the way we fancy them to go. Saturday, some big games again, so we'll be having to look really in the next, by the end of this month, I think it will be playing out a little bit different than it is tonight.
I think by the end of April we'll definitely know. Whitby were in fourth last week. They've dropped to sixth, but they've done that not necessarily by dropping points, bad points in a way. I mean, going to Marsden Road and drawing 0-0 with Stafford Rangers, not necessarily a bad result, that. I mean, it's Neil Kitchen last week was talking about Stafford Rangers, you know, needing to end the season better than the last few weeks,
and
months got, you know, proved to him.
And that, I understand the reasons why he'd be frustrated this season. It was an expectation, really, for them, I think, that they wanted to be in a higher position than they are, and really challenging. But the one thing for Whitby, I think Whitby had to go there and get a result for me. Whitby have been absolutely tremendous this season. They've been top for quite a little while, in the top five. Just nudged out of it now. Don't want to put the jinx on them, but I've just got a feeling that they're going to be just missing out this season. But again, they're in a good position to prove us all wrong, and that's what you want as a pundit, to be proved wrong by all of these teams. Unfortunately, there's only one definitely going up, and then another. I'd like to see one going up, or two going up through the
automatic,
and then everyone else playing for the spots.
Just to add, we said Graham from Town last week, Andrew Snay from Whitby Town Radio, said it was last chance saloon for Grantham, and they beat Marine 3-0, and that's put them straight back into things. Obviously, they've played a few games more than everyone else, but they're only 3 points from the playoffs now, and that goes to show you, I mean, one win and you're back in it.
That's the whole thing about this division.
And then
it's
Buxton,
so
and to add to that, one defeat, like Buxton losing at Rushall 1-0, and they're down to ninth now, so...
It's a funny old league this season, all being played, or some great football on show, and you know, it's not a surprise there's over 300,000 people been to watching all the Premier League football this season so far. In fact, it's more now, and it's just testament to the managers, the players and the staff of all the clubs that are here, and the supporters that watch good quality football. And Grantham done a tremendous job, you know. It's a good result for them. I mean, Nantwich going to Ilkeston as well, I mean, you know, to keep their charge going, I mean, yeah. That's a big result for them, that, because Ilkeston are on a hiding to nothing, and you know, it's hard sometimes going to a team like that, but you do a job, and they've got, that's what they've done.
Now, down the bottom end, just quickly now for Saturday before the teams come back out. Down the bottom end, obviously, defeats for Skelmersdale, defeats for Vilkeston, defeats for Sutton Coldfield, but defeats as well for Frick Athletic, and obviously Lee Morris has now left the club, and we'll have more on that in a second, because we're going to hear from Tom Feeney this week, who's got all the lowdown on that. Weird situation, but it was... 1-0 defeat to Hells Owen. A win for Hells Owen, which they needed.
What surprised as well is they brought a manager in that's who was replaced by the manager who's just been now replaced again. So
it's an odd one. We'll find out.
We'll find out a lot more about it. Yeah, I mean, they've been there with that. They know how to get out of this position.
Big win for Elzo in though, wasn't it?
Big result. And as we speak at this moment, I think Corby are winning as well this evening. They're pushing themselves further.
Well, they need to, because they lost to Barwell 3-0.
Yeah.
I saw a cracking goal from from that game as well. Can't remember who scored it. Apologies, but a cracking goal. But it is awfully tight. And
I mean, the bottom two are gone. And then it's between probably as far as Hales Owen really, and then after that I think everyone else is safe.
And as I close my laptop, because it's starting to rain, thank you Swamper. We're going to hear from James Hayes now with all the results from Tuesday evening, but we're going back to this game and a coffee, I think,
and a good second half. Cheers, Ben.
So, a big thank you to the wonderful Nantwich Town for their hospitality on Tuesday evening. A cracking evening. Two great football clubs, four goals, cracking hospitality. What more can you ask for? Dry hair. That's what I could have asked for. It really did chuck it down. But it finished top of the table clash. Nantwich Town 2, Blyth Spartans 2. And the goals were sensational. Four cracking goals. So a big thank you to Nantwich Town for serving that up. Superb stuff. But anyway, enough about that. We're back in the studio now. Back in the warmth, back in the dry. And joining me hand in hand through the internet somewhere else in Greater Manchester, we're joined now by the wonderful James Hayes. Hello, James. How are you?
How are you doing, Ben? Not too bad, thank you.
So a happy morning to you. And where do we start? So we're going to be looking back at all the results from Tuesday, as well as dipping into some interviews as well. So we're going to be having the post-match reaction from Nantwich Town on Tuesday evening in a second. Plus we're going to hear from Colville, from Spennymoor and from Stafford Rangers. So that's all coming up in the next 15-20 minutes or so. But James Hayes, let's talk about that top of the table clash. Nantwich Town 2, Blyth Spartans 2. What do you reckon to that one? I think that's possibly the league done now, I think.
You'd assume so, and I think Blyth have got all reasons to think that they are pretty much there now, but Nantwich can still... It's still a lot to play for. Blyth have been known to drop points this time of the season. Just got to win the next three games, and the job's done. That's pretty much all Blyth have to do now. Looking at the next three games, well, it's very, very possible. They're playing more of the mid-table teams. Nantwich's next three games as well will prove that point. They've got Whitby, Matlock and Spennymoor coming up. So it is Blyth's completely to lose now.
Okie dokie. That was 2-2 yesterday evening. So let's hear now post-match reaction. And after that match, Neil Savell, assistant manager at Nantwich Town, caught up with Nantwich Town's Audio Boom channel.
Neil, not quite the win we'd like, but a very good game and a great point against Blyth.
Yeah, it was a good performance. You know, rightly, they where they are, aren't they? Because they're the best team in the league at the minute. Thought in the end, probably a draw was a fair result. Don't think either team deserved to win it. Thought we had the best of the first half. But then when they changed the shape, they pegged us back a bit second half and they had the better of the second half. So I think overall, draw was a fair result.
It was quite an even first half, but then they managed to get themselves in front just after the half-hour mark, and it shows how much quality they've got. With the Wood Armstrongs beat one man and then he's put it in the bottom corner.
Yeah, I thought once he got away, you know, someone needed to react to that a bit better and spot the danger and maybe cut him off. But I thought, you know, first half we did really well. We controlled the game, kept possession really well, we moved them about without maybe creating too many great chances, but I thought we had good control. There was just a couple of moments that we had to manage where they looked dangerous around the edge, so I was quite pleased with how we were doing. And then they go and score, disappointing, but then, you know, managed to equalise before half time, which I think we deserved on reflection of that first half. The second half, when they went back to their normal shape 4-4-2, it probably benefited them. The only benefit it was for us was probably give JJ a bit more space and light the lad 1v1 down that side, and it was a great finish.
Yeah. And you, just after that 2-1 goal, we had a great chance to go up, but Josh Hancock couldn't quite finish a great chance, and then they equalised shortly afterwards. How big was
that?
Yeah,
that's chance? Big moments, isn't it? You know, against the best teams, chances are premium. They didn't have too many, you know, great chances neither. They were clinical, obviously, with the chances they had. But that was a chance, and probably at 3-1 then, we'd have fancied ourselves and win it. But within moments they're back down the other end and they score. And then I just thought last half hour, we didn't get the control I would have liked to have seen. You know, the lads were working hard enough, but we weren't building up well enough and playing through midfield enough, and probably resulted in us creating not too much in the end. So I thought they had a bit second half, and they got on the front foot a bit more than we did.
Yeah, whilst this means that the gap stays at 10 points whilst we do have a game in hand, it perhaps isn't the result that we'd aim to see the title race get reignited, but nevertheless, we're still in a fantastic position to probably finish in that runners-up spot.
Yeah, we are, you know. Obviously, we needed to beat them tonight, didn't we, to narrow the gap down and make it a bit more interesting. But, you know, the lads have given it the best tonight. 14 unbeaten now, to pick up another point is really good, to maybe stretch that margin a little bit for us. Just make sure now, you know, we've got three real tough games coming up. We need to just make sure picking up points in all of them games, and if we do that and keep the gaps between them teams who were playing, who were in and around the playoffs, keep them gaps the same at the end of the 90 minutes, then we're in with a great chance of staying up there where we are.
Yeah, and you move on now to another one. This is in Whitby. We beat them early in the season, but they're a very tricky outfit with a lot of quality in the team, and they play a similar style of football to we do under the manager down up there.
Another interesting game. They're a good footballing side. They usually play a similar shape to what Blythford played first half. I know they have changed that the last month or so. So yeah, this is one of them tactical battles, you know. It's going to be a good footballing game. We look forward to it.
So a big thank you there to Nantwich Town's Audio Boom account. That was assistant manager Neil Savell from Nantwich Town there, following that 2-2 draw with Blyth Spartans on Tuesday. And we'll be hearing from Alan Armstrong later in the show, because like James says earlier, we have got some interesting games coming up for Blyth Spartans, and quite winnable games as well. So we'll wait and see. But Alan Armstrong's coming on later on the show. Now, elsewhere on Tuesday evening, we've got to cover this one first, I think. So we've got Trump in the White House, we're out of Europe, and we've got Joni Bannum scoring 2 goals. It's crazy times. Skelmersdale United 1, Ashton United 10. And I know that's, you know, a sensational scoreline and everything, but at the same time, it's quite a sad scoreline too, I think.
It is indeed. The only saving grace there for Skelmersdale is the fact that had they played Saturday, they would have been relegated at this point, at this moment in time now as well. 20 points to gain with 21 available. This Saturday, it's not just their results anymore. This weekend, they need a miracle to stay up with all the other fixtures taking place. A 10-1 defeat is, as Jody Bannum this morning has put on his Twitter, anyone who scores 10 against any team is a fantastic achievement as it is. I mean, Jody's rolling back the years there, scoring goals like he did at Droughton, Ratcliffe, and pretty much every other NPL club in the league. It's a sad situation for Skelmersdale, but I think once it's done, we can see the best of what Skelmersdale can offer, ready for next season now.
Anyway, well, congratulations to Ashton United. Like you said there, scoring 10 goals is no mean feat. So congratulations to Ashton United for that away win there at Stormy Corner. And I bet on Tuesday night it was Stormy Corner, I have to say. Moving up towards the top end of the table then, we mentioned Nantwich, we mentioned Blyth, we mentioned Stourbridge, their game on Monday earlier. Just to mention for Spennymoor then, Spennymoor have been... they've been 9th, 8th, 7th, there or thereabouts for ages now. 1 win, 3-2 against Matlock Town, and they've propelled themselves into the playoff positions, into 4th position. We could discuss all day long the teams below them, but there is a gap opened up now between 4th and 8th. I know that's a ridiculous thing to say, but given the last few months we've had, that is significant, because it's less teams to compete with in a way for that playoff position. Spennymoor, 66 points. They've also got loads of games in hand. But back to this result on Tuesday, Spennymoor 3, Matlock Town 2. Graham Armstrong scored in the first minute, and they never really looked back at that point. 3-0 up at half-time. A very, very good result there against a team who essentially is also competing for one of those playoff spots.
We've now seen 4 of the playoff chasing teams drop out the picture, in my opinion. And this weekend coming, we're going to see potentially another 2 go away. Spennymoor in a fantastic situation. They're just doing the job at the moment. Matlock, however, again, it's just a case of now, can they recover quick enough and just catch Warrington? because we're now starting to see that gap spread out a little bit more, and it's getting more and more difficult. Absolutely. Just to keep in that pace.
Now, let's hear the post-match reaction then from Jason Ainsley. He caught up with Spennymoor Town TV on YouTube after that win.
A bit needlessly nervy at the end there, Jason, but overall good performance.
Yeah, I mean, before the game, 3 points was a must. I thought first half excellent. Some of the football we played, some of the goals we scored were fantastic. But no matter what you say at half-time, you know, you try to say, look, play the game in 15-minute blocks. We did that for the first 15. There was nothing in the game, but we didn't start second half. We didn't play at all. And we've done what we've done in the past. Our Achilles heel is when we've conceded one, we seem to let another one in straight away, which made for a nervy end. I thought we'd seen the game out quite well. Did we play well second half? No, we didn't. But the main objective was to get 3 points. And the first half performance was outstanding. Second half, not so great. But the overall outcome was right what we asked for.
Yeah, we looked really sharp in attack today. We seem to have got our edge back going forwards.
Well, you say that. We've scored 103 goals so all season. You know, you can't say that's been a... one of our weak points, or low. What you said is, you know, to an extent we've missed a lot of chances, but tonight we were clinical from the first whistle. It's always important on a Tuesday night when teams have travelled to start brightly, which we did, so credit to the boys for that. But we know we're in a dogfight with 8 or 9 teams around us, so every win is vital, because, you know, one win you're up to third or fourth, one defeat you're out of the playoffs. So it's a must-win game for everyone at the moment, and we need to keep the run going. We're on a good, rich vein of form. The lads are playing with confidence, and long may that continue.
You probably don't want to pick individuals out for praise after a win like that, but Graham Armstrong got man of the match tonight, held the ball up really well. He's come back into the side. How do you feel he's doing?
He's been very well. He's done very, very well. You know, he's knocked on the door for me for a while, but that's not knocking Glenn, because he's did really well when he came back. But sometimes you just get a feeling that the time's right for Army. You know, he's done well in training, and I thought Saturday was outstanding against Mikulova, and he carried that on today with another outstanding performance. I think in the first half I thought he was dominant. Him and Dawson up front led the line very, very well and give us a platform to build on. So no, we're delighted with Graham. He's been excellent all the way through the season, never mourned, got on with it, and you know, he's proven a vital cog in the wheel at the moment.
Excellent. Thanks very much. Well done tonight.
Yeah, cheers, Adam. Cheers. Cheers.
So Jason Ains are there speaking to Spennymoor Town TV, and a big thank you for that clip. We should also mention as well attendances. I didn't mention the attendance at the Weaver Stadium, 531 on a wet Tuesday evening, and at Spennymoor Town 503. These are cracking attendances at step three of non-league football. So congratulations, everyone. Superb stuff. Let's zigzag our way down to the bottom end of the table, and Marine against Corby Town. Big game this one on Merseyside. 318 people watching this one, and Marine won by 3-2, getting an 88th minute winner. My goodness, what important 3 points that is for Marine.
What a great 3 points, and especially now putting Corby back into that little bit of worry after the great run they've just had recently. Obviously, they'll be going again for it at Corby this coming Saturday, but just again keep that pace going. That 6 point is now not as necessary for Marine as it is for Corby. Marine are just creeping away. It's like they've got a game in hand on Corby as well. The pressure's back on Corby.
Is it? I think the pressure's not necessarily back on Corby in a way. I think we're getting to the stage now, because Marine have picked up the odd occasional win here in this Tommy Lawson period now, that it is now pretty much going to be down to Corby and Frickley and Sutton Coldfield. I think we've gone from the stage now of trying to make it even more interesting by suggesting that Hales, Owen and Marine and even Colville at one point are involved in this. I think it is now down to those three teams. What do you think?
I think Hales, Owen have still got I think Marine and Hales, Owen have still got to look over the shoulders a little bit. Not as much as I've done in the last couple of weeks. But as all being said, again, next Tuesday, it's Marine v Hales Owen. Just got to keep the focus going now, especially with Marine's next two fixtures. If they lose both of them, they're right back in that picture.
And we should say we are speaking to Thomas Feeney in a second or two to discuss the issues off the pitch at Frickley, because it's been an interesting 7 days, to say the least, at the club. We just touched upon Colville there. Colville, good 5-2 win away at Rushall Olympic. Given the result that Rushall Olympic had at the weekend, I'd suggest that's a cracking result. We heard from Tommy Brookbanks a couple of weeks ago saying that he believes he's going to have to get to 50 points to make sure Colville are out of the relegation picture. Well, essentially, and the good news is, Tommy Brookbanks, you're one win away from getting that 50 points now, so can't be bad.
No, the Colville have nothing to worry about. Yeah. All they've done this midweek is take Rushall out of the playoff picture. Fantastic result there, and again, some of the goals I've seen on MPL TV, some fantastic ones. But again, Colville has been one of them teams that people have struggled to play against this season, and can cause headaches, and one of the teams that everyone predicted that would go down at the start of the season as well. So fantastic achievement, improving all those wrong as well.
Let's hear now from the management at Colville then after that win. Here is Tommy Brookbanks speaking to Colville Town's Audio Boom channel.
You must be very happy.
Ecstatic, to be honest. Finally had a bit go for us tonight as well, which didn't happen for us on Saturday. Felt from 6:15 when the lads got here that everything was right. The atmosphere was good, and right from the first minute, they was at it.
Seems a long time ago, but we actually went 1-0 down, didn't we? What were your thoughts on the start of the game? Because I thought we were playing quite well.
Yeah, I thought they're a good side. You know, they play in between the lines really well. The number 10 dropped off. And they were causing us problems, just like we were causing them problems. And it was an even game. And, the goal, really, you could see it coming because the boy had a shot early on. And the problem was that Anton and Walsh were pushing on too much, particularly with having Nat and Jack in there. So we had to pull them in a bit after the goal and make sure that they weren't getting between the lines so much. It was a shock, but we got back into it beautifully, didn't we?
And two penalties in two games. We've not had many this season, but
no.
Like you say, things went for us tonight and on top of a good performance.
Yeah, and you can't argue with a penalty. You know, it was a blatant penalty. Anton... Then second one, you know, he's gone in there really brave. You've got to realise the keeper's jumping high for that, and Anton's gone in and beat him. So it was a great response to, especially what's happened to us late. You know, the Warrington result away, Ensford Saturday last second. You know, it can affect you. We had the breaks tonight, which we haven't had for weeks. Yeah. I think they're a very good side, and he'll be gutted to lose 5-2. But then again, I was gutted Saturday to draw 2-2, and I was gutted to lose 2-1 away at Warrington.
In a way, we owed them one because we were 3-0 up against them at home.
Yeah, yeah.
Things didn't go for us that day.
I mean, that bizarre sending off from Isai, I never forget that. You know, that's another 2 points on board, isn't it? I don't know how results have gone tonight, but we've just got concentrating us now. We're 47 points, 7 games to go. You know, we'd have took that, wouldn't we, at the start of the season?
Definitely.
You know, so. Yeah.
And a final word, obviously, the new signing in, what will he bring to us?
He's 21 and. Every time it was knocked into his feet or his chest, it stuck, you know. And every time we got the ball wide, he was in the box. We've got to get used to that happening.
Yeah.
You know, Messiah's a different type of player to that, and he gets in the box. But you know, I'll always also say Malachi, who was a revelation again when he come on. His attitude's spot on. You know, all of a sudden now we look like we've got 3 top strikers, and that's refreshing to know, isn't it?
And back at home on Saturday, another 3 points to go and get.
Yeah, look, you know, Workington, God, I mean, if you look at highlights for this season, Workington away was one of them, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But they are on a cracking roll now. But I've always said it, Luke, I think other than Blythe and Spennymoor away, we've matched everybody this season, you know, and there's not anybody been that much better than us, and it's been that kind of league, hasn't it? You know, and that's why on 47 points you're still looking for more points to stay up, because it's such a competitive league.
So a big thank you there to Colville Town's excellent Audio Boom account. That was Tommy Brookbanks there speaking after that 5-2 away win at Rushall Olympic. And there's just one last result to mention from Tuesday evening. Stafford Rangers 1, Micklehover Sports 0. Sees Stafford Rangers break into that 50-point barrier. 52 points now for them. Micklehover Sports, 45 points. They're 6 points from the relegation zone now. I'm just going, it's ridiculous. I think Micklehover are fine, let's be honest. So where are we?
I think it's just more points to prove. Again, getting ready now, points to prove for next season. But players proving they're good enough to stay at this level now more than anything. And again, Stafford, under what they wanted to do this season, they'll think they've underperformed, I feel. But it's a great stepping stone for next season. It stands in the sense of the league table. They want to finish up with Henswood, don't they, realistically? That's going to be their battle for the next couple of weeks.
Yes, absolutely. So. Well, you think about it, they've got to at least finish above Colville, because Colville did come up with them. And, you know, they're neck and neck at the moment. There is a bit of a gap opened up now, but, you know. Anyway, speaking of Stafford Rangers then, let's hear the post-match thoughts of Neil Kitching. He's speaking to Stafford Rangers TV here.
Okay, yeah, a good win. Welcome win.
Definitely, yeah. Chuffed to win, obviously, at home. Nice to score a goal as well at home. Had a couple of, obviously, nil-nils. Pleased with the win. Thought we played well. Nothing spectacular, but I thought we played well. Both halves, obviously, we knew a little bit about Mikulova. They dominate the ball, you know, very fluent side in terms of the way they play and passing it out from the back. And it was all tonight, really, from the information we got on them, was all about making sure our shape was right without the ball, making sure that we're compact as a team unit and pressing them when they had it. And I thought, in terms of game plan and starting from the front two, pressing and harrying them and closing them down, denying them space, I thought it worked to an absolute T. Would have liked a little bit more creativity in the final third. But having said that, I think we've created the better chances on the night. But in terms of team performance, team shape and work ethic, I couldn't be more pleased. Scoring from a free kick, great goal, and then being compact and keeping it at key times throughout the game and being as good without the ball as you want to be with the ball. Like I say, I don't think we've had a performance like that this season in terms of being hard to score against, being hard to break down, legs and energy.
And Saturday we're away at Mikulova.
Yeah, yeah.
Any changes in terms of, or are you going to go for without giving too many secrets
you just said it, we've got a real strong side, a strong squad, and you know, at the moment I feel like I can pick any type of formation and any type of system and personnel, and we're on a bit of a run. You know, that's 4 points in two games, a good draw and a good win at home, and I just feel that we can mix it up and get the same level of performance. They'll know about us and we know about them going into Saturday. So,
and that win's sort of opened up the gap for Mikulova today, because they got beaten heavily at home on Saturday. We gained a point on them and extended that by another three tonight. Cement our 15th place we seem to have been in since.
I've got to be honest, because I'm not really worried about anybody else around us. It's about us as a club, you know, stepping forward in this league and making sure
we're thinking more about our position within the table.
What it does do, it puts us on 52 points, which, you know, we're keeping the board ticking over, and it gets us a little bit closer to around about that top 10. You know, Saturday, Tuesday, the game's coming thick and fast. You can put back-to-back wins together. You can really climb up the table. The key is now is to try and finish as high up the table as we possibly can, get performances out of players, you know, who want to be here next year. We make decisions on those players to keep them next year, and it gives me an idea of what we need to be better next season. You know, and that's crucial over the next 8 games. You know, the lads, they all know the situation. There's nobody on the beach. There's nobody, you know, just seeing the timeout and just seeing what happens over there. Everybody in that dressing room knows that, you know, they're fighting for shirts and fighting for, you know, to be in the squad next season as well.
So a big thank you there to Stafford Rangers TV. That was Neil Kitching, manager at Stafford Rangers, following that 1-0 win against Mikulova Sports. Is there anything else that we need to discuss, James? I think we're all good here, aren't we? Radcliffe won. Look at that. Well done.
Yeah, we did win.
Yeah,
we did win, obviously. Well, especially with the points deductions in Division 1 North this weekend, that's all well and truly opened the relegation fight once again after months of people saying it's all over. It's nice to just be out of that race for a little bit, in all fairness.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, your mouth's clear now. Look at that. What's that? 19 points above the relegation zone. It's party time at Radcliffe Borough. Anyway, James Hayes, I'm just getting my own back for your supporters last week. Anyway, James Hayes, a big thank you for joining us this week on the show, and we'll be hearing from you next week on the monthly show. So very shortly, we're going to be doing a fixture preview for all of this weekend's matches in the MPL Premier Division. But before that, there has been some news emerging this past week, and that is the news at Frickley Athletic, where Lee Morris has left the club and has been replaced by Carl Rose. And Carl Rose left the club in late August and was replaced by Lee Morris. So it's kind of an interesting situation, and I'm a bit confused, so to help me along with this, we're now joined from the Yorkshire Evening Post by Mr. Yorkshire Non-League himself. It's Tom Feeney. Hello, Tom, how are you?
I'm not too bad, thank you, mate. I'm trying to get my head around this as well, by the way, but I'll try my best.
Okie dokie. Now, obviously, it's a fluid situation at the moment, but what we can say is Lee Morris has left the club. He's been replaced by Carl Rose. There's not much time at the moment. Corby have hit a bit of a snag in the road, but is there enough time, do you think, for Carl Rose to have an impact on this squad? Because it is up in the air, isn't it, all this at the moment at Frickley?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, when you go on social media, you know, when Claudio Ranieri left Leicester, a lot of people said, well, players weren't, you know, putting things on social media saying how much you were going to miss him. With Frickley, you know, Lee Morris, a lot of the players tweeting on the Monday about, you know, basically how much they enjoyed playing under him. And in my opinion, Lee Morris did a good job at Frickley. When you look at, he came into a club that, to be honest, they looked like they were going to be relegated. You know, the results just were not there. They'd lost a lot of their players from last season. Remember, they finished seventh last season, but they lost, I think it was 8 senior players, you know, basically because money elsewhere and, you know, the aims and the ambitions of playing a league higher for a lot of them was there. And Lee Morris came in and really had to do a rebuild job very quickly. He left goal for Frickley, and in all fairness, he went on a decent enough run. I think the big thing for Lee Morris and what he'll look at is the last few results. They've been a bit unlucky because they've only been losing by the odd goal. You know, they lost to Warrington a few weeks ago due to a last-minute winner against Elzo in town at the weekend. Again, they lost by a single goal, and you know, they lost to Hensford due to a late goal. So if you turn them couple of losses that were due to, you know, 88th, 89th minute goals being conceded, you know, you're adding 3 more points to the table immediately. So I think Lee Morris has every right to be, you know, frustrated with the situation. I will just say as well, you know, I've spoken to Lee Morris a few times and he's always been a really nice guy, someone who I do think will very quickly be back in work during the summer. There will be a team that will look at him and think, he's got good contacts with league clubs. He's got a good coaching setup as well. His assistant's really good. So I think for him, you know, while it'll be disappointing right now, I don't think he'll be out of work too long. But for Frickley, like you said, for Carl Rose, he's got to go in. And basically, it's interesting because he's gone, you know, he left at the end of August. And a lot of the squad that he had, there's been quite a few changes since then. So he really has got a couple of training sessions before that crucial game against Ilkeston, because that game against Ilkeston is must win. You know, it's as simple as that, really, for the position they're in the league. So it's been a very dramatic week at Frickley. The hope is that old familiar face will bring some results going forward.
And we should say, on when we've discussed Frickley and Lee Morris's impact on Frickley, I remember what Andrew Simpson said a few months ago. He said, you do get the impression when you hear Lee Morris speak that they are going to survive. In fact, when I hear Lee Morris speak, I believe they're going to survive. He did have this aura about him, didn't he, of confidence, of not panicking in the situation. And when it comes to the fixtures and the results that they've had, you're quite right. I mean, Sutton Coldfield and Corby have gone on great runs of late, getting some good results on the board. Frickley haven't, though. But saying that, who've they been playing? They've been playing Warrington Town. They've been playing Blyth Spartans. They're not bankers.
No, and I think that's the big thing. You know, the one result that I think Lee Morris will look back on and think that maybe, if you're going to say it was some kind of turning point, was the Marine draw, where they looked like that. You know, they were in a great position, 3-1 up with 10 minutes to go, and then ended up drawing that. But then the game after, what a reaction that was. They beat Matlock Town 1-0. So,
well, as you said, this weekend it's Ilkeston away, and obviously we're going to do a fixture preview in a second or two. But it is a big game now for Frickley Athletic, and it'll be very interesting to see what the outcome is. But obviously there's only one place where you can keep abreast of all the developments in the non-league world.
Yes, there is. And if you give me a little follow on Twitter. That's at Thomas Feeney, at Thomas F-E-A-H-E-N-Y.
So, it's now time to ignore the past and look towards the future. And joining me now to look towards the future, we're joined hand in hand from the Northants Telegraph by the welcome return of John Dunham. Hello, John, how are you?
I'm good, Ben. Thanks. How are you?
I'm all good, mate. I'm all good. So, some big fixtures this weekend. We're going to be hearing from Alan Armstrong, the manager at Blyth Spartans, very shortly. But we're going to start things off with the relegation battle, because while we've got you on, we should talk about this. We've just heard about the situation at Frickley Athletic. Corby Town, they've been on a hell of a run. Somebody on the MPL show a couple of weeks said, team of the second half of the season, definitely Corby Town. But they have hit a bit of a snag.
They have, as it happens, yeah. I mean, they... Yeah, I agree with whatever the whoever that was who said that, because I think
it was Swampy. You don't want to agree with him.
Well, he's right, because you know, I refer back, as I often do in my reports about Corby, to Boxing Day when they got beaten 4-0 at Grantham, and that left them 12 points. I think they were bottom at the time, and 12 points adrift of safety. And it was pretty much all over, you know. There was a sort of resignation about it all, I think, then. And since then, it's been unbelievable. I think it's 4 defeats since then, and in 16 league games. And they've been absolutely flying. But like you say, just in the last couple of... just in this last week, they obviously lost at Barwell, which, you know, I don't think there's any particular disgrace in that. Barwell were a steady mid-table team with some decent players. And then they lost the big one at Marine on Tuesday, which was disappointing, because, you know, they had a point in their hands pretty late on, and then conceded a late goal. So not a great deal has changed, apart from the fact that Marine have just pulled away slightly. But as we know, Corby could get that back on Saturday.
I do love how this story writes itself in a way. I mean, having a return fixture that early on, it's like the UEFA Cup or something, or the Cup Winners Cup or something. Corby Town against Marine this weekend. It's a big, big game, this one. But I agree with you in a way. It feels like Marine have kind of got themselves away from it all for the time being. Although Tommy Brookbanks did say at Colville that he reckons 50 points is going to be the total needed. So it is still all to play for.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it was a great win for Marine on Tuesday night. Like you say, that 50 points, I think, is probably about right. To be honest, I think if I look at the league table, which I am at the moment, I'm looking at Colville on 47 points, and I'm thinking, yeah, I think them and everyone north of them obviously are going to be safe. Mikulova are still sitting there on 45 points and not in great form at all, so they'll be still having a nervous look over their shoulder if others below them start picking up points. But you know, I think Saturday's game for between Corby and Marine became a whole lot bigger for Corby after Tuesday night than it probably did for Marine. They've got a bit of breathing space. A huge game for Corby, but they're banging form on their own ground. I think they've won their last four in the league at home and their last five in the league in all competitions at home. So they've relied on their home form to get them out of trouble. So, you know, huge game, massive game at the bottom of the table.
And we should say as well, I mean, we just spoke to Tom Feeney at the Yorkshire Evening Post about Frickley, everything that's gone on at Frickley. And obviously, Lee Morris, a very popular man there at Frickley amongst the players. And Carl Rose, the new manager, who's come in, the new old manager, he's popular as well. But it's going to take time to bed in. And you should always focus on your own game. But I reckon that Corby and Sutton Coldfield will be looking on at what's gone on at Frickley the past week and gone, well, we've got a bit of solidity, we've got a bit of continuity here. That gives us a bit of an advantage going into our games in the next couple of weeks or few weeks or so.
Yeah, you never know, do you, with a change of manager and everything like that. You know, Frickley will be hoping that it has the right effect on them and everything. But it's, you know, you look at it and it's them with the work to do. You know, Corby are ahead of them on goal difference. That at this stage of the season, seven games to go, 15 goals on them. So that effectively becomes an extra point. So you might as well just stick an extra point on Corby ahead of them, because they're not going to, you know, Frickley aren't going to make that back. So in terms of the goal difference. So it's Fricke who have got the work to do at this moment in time.
It seems to me as well that it is about the home form in a way, as you say. Mm. And you mentioned Corby's home form; it has been really good this season. As a Sutton Coldfields, in a way, it's been solid compared to most teams down the bottom end. What's your take on where Sutton Coldfield are? Because they've got a wily old manager there, although Richard Sneakers isn't that old. I do apologise, Richard, but they have got a very experienced manager there.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at the way they're at home again this weekend, aren't they, against Barwell. So, you know, but yeah, again, they're relying on their home form. You look at their away form, you know, they've won two away from home. They've got, they've taken 10 points out of 21 games away from home by the looks of it, which is obviously poor. So they're relying on their home form. They have the benefit of the 3G pitch. You know, I don't care what anyone says, when you play on it regularly, it makes a difference, and they will be targeting their home matches for definite to try and make sure that it gets them out of trouble. And yeah, I mean, I saw them a couple of weeks ago against Corby, and in the first half they were particularly good, to be honest. And then Corby just came out and crushed him in the second half. You know, if we say that Ilkeston and Skelmersdale are gone, which I can't see either of them getting out of trouble, you're looking at where we look. I still think we're looking up to Mikulova. So we're looking at six teams, and we're looking at two more teams out of six, I think. I don't think Mikulova are out of it by any shot just yet. So we're looking at two out of six teams, and Sutton Coldfield are only 2 points behind Corby and Frickley. So, you know, if they win their remaining home games, they're going to give themselves every chance.
And you mentioned Mikulova there. Neil Kitching at Stafford Rangers, he said something interesting a couple of weeks ago, that he felt that Stafford Rangers needed results because they were being sucked into it. And no one on the NPL show thought that. I mean, some people about a month ago were predicting them to knock on the door of the playoffs. But Mikulova, they have slipped a little bit into this. They're hosting Stafford Rangers this weekend. I do feel, though, that Mikulova, they do have a win in them, a bit like Hales Owen have as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I say, at the moment, as we talk Mikulova in it, they're one win away probably from being okay. You know, I think we mentioned 50 points earlier. I'd be surprised if it's 50 points. I would have thought, you know, 48, which is one win away from where Mikulova are, 48 would probably, you'd feel fairly comfortable on that, I would think. So, yeah, I mean, like you say, they probably have got one more win in them. But as long as they are in poor form, you know, it can become a bit of a habit. And certainly the teams below them will be hoping that continues. Hales Owen, just looking at where they are again this weekend, you know, obviously away at Spennymoor, which is a really tough game for them. But what Hales Owen have got is they've got the games in hand. And you talk to managers and everything like that, and they roll out the old cliches about points on the board and everything like that. And which is all very well, but Hales Owen have got some points on the board. They've got a few more points on the board than the teams just below them, and they've got those extra games in hand, which will be crucial to them. Again, I would have thought with those games in hand, they'll be targeting their home form, and they'll be thinking if they win their home games or, you know, take a good amount of points out of those home games, then they'll be absolutely fine as well. I think, looking at it, if you're going to be realistic about this relegation fight, I would say that Mikulova, you'd probably expect to get there. Hales Owen, you'd probably expect to get there. I would, you know, it has been for a little while this sort of battle between Sutton Coldfield, Frickley, Corby and Marine. And I think, you know, if you're being really realistic about it, I would think that it'll be two of those four that drop eventually.
Right, okie dokie. So that's the relegation picture. We mentioned Skelmersdale United there. Let's go towards the top end of the table. Skelmersdale United are playing Buxton this weekend, and I think mathematically there is a chance, unfortunately, for Skelmersdale United that they could have an R next to them by the end of this weekend.
Yeah, it's a shame, isn't it? I mean, you know, I don't know the ins and outs of what goes on up there, but they They've had a right tough time of it, clearly, you know. And I mean, I certainly recall, you know, I'm going from when I watched them against Corby, and I was watching them Skelmersdale warm up, and I could not believe how young they were. They looked so young. And on that day, they came up against an experienced Corby team who took them apart in the first 20 minutes, and that was that for that day. You know, they were 3-0 up, and that was it. And yeah, it's a shame, but you know, they're obviously a team who possibly, certainly with the players they've got and the young players they've got at the minute, have punched above their weight a little bit. And unfortunately for them, it's a matter of when, not if, isn't it, to be honest. So, you know, I really hope they bounce back from what happened to them in the week, because it's one of those things that goes crazy on social media, isn't it, when someone hits 10 in a league game and everything like that. And, you know, Ashton deserve credit because they've gone there and done a real job on them, but don't like to see that happening to anyone. I really hope they find a way of bouncing back and finish the season with a bit of a flourish, even if it does result in relegation.
So for Buxton, then they're going to Stormy Corner. They're in ninth position at the moment. They're 4 points from the playoffs, but they do have two games in hand over Warrington. But you do feel like it is stretching out a bit now in that mid-table pack. It was when we did the NPL show, one of you could make an argument for 12 teams making the top five. It's becoming less and less likely now that. So Buxton, they have got games in hand, but they do need to get some points on the board, it feels like.
I mean, they're probably the biggest threat outside of the top. You look at Grantham in eighth, and okay, they're only 4 points off Workington, but they, you know, they've got that 39 games next to them, so they've only got 7 games to play with to get in there. So the longer it goes, the more difficult it's going to become. So I'd suggest that Buxton are probably the biggest threat due to those extra games in hand, and you know they'll obviously fancy their chances of winning this weekend against Skelmersdale. So for the likes of Grantham and Matlock, even though the points isn't that much, you know, I think they'll need really good form, both of those two, if they're going to break into it. So I would think obviously you've got Blythe at the top, and then you what's it, six teams after that plus Buxton, I think will be fighting out for the playoffs.
For Matlock, they've got Ashton United this weekend, travelling to Causeway Lane. So quite winnable, although Ashton United are bouncing with those 10 goals they scored midweek. For Grantham, though, they're travelling to Stourbridge. Now, just a quick mention for Stourbridge. They did bounce back on Monday night against Ilkeston, but it does feel like now that they're set... Hello, you. My daughter's just watching. It does feel like they are settling for the playoffs and maybe trying to get to that second spot where they can have guaranteed home advantage in the final if they get that far.
I'll say this now, and bear in mind, I haven't seen Blythe, to be fair. So this is nothing against them, but Stourbridge are the best team I've seen this season. To be honest, I thought they were really, really good. I mean, they've got a striker like Luke Bembo in the form that he's been in. It always gives you a chance. They've obviously had a brilliant run in the FA Cup, which could have halted their progress maybe, but it hasn't. They would be my pick to go up, to be honest, through the playoffs from the evidence that I've seen so far. That's not to diminish anyone else in there, because there are some very good sides in there with them. But yeah, I like Stourbridge. I like the way they go about their business, and I think there's no question in my mind that they'll definitely make the playoffs. And like you say, when they're in that situation, you look at them in Nantwich, if you know, I'm sure we'll come to Blythe in a minute, if you assume that Blythe's gone, you look at them in Nantwich, and they're in pole position to take those home semi-finals, which make all the difference. And then obviously they're going into the final as well. So it's the battle for places for them at the moment, and neither of them will let up, I'm sure.
I agree with Berkey. I reckon whoever finishes in those four playoff spots, it's going to be the strongest playoffs we've had for a long time. It's going to be very much the case. Nantwich, they're hosting Whitby Town. Whitby Town, 1 point from the playoffs. They've got a game in hand over Warrington, but they're there or thereabouts as well, Whitby, and they're doing really well. For Nantwich Town, it was a very good match that they played on Tuesday night. Really, really entertaining. Nearly got the 3 points, but they had to settle for a draw in the end. It feels like Nantwich now are looking to the playoffs themselves as well.
I think so, yeah. Those of us who are following teams at the bottom end of the table will probably argue that Corby against Marines the game of the day, but aside from that, I'd say Nantwich and Whitby is probably the game of the day, isn't it? Because there's a lot of stake, particularly for Whitby as well. For Whitby, they obviously need points fairly quickly to make sure that they try and force their way into the top five. So that's a very, very big game. Should be a good game, though.
And we've been saying this for a while about Warrington Town. They're in fifth at the moment, and they've come out of nowhere to get into fifth, essentially. And they're hosting Hensford. Hensford, I think, are just wanting to get the season out of the way so they can start looking towards next season.
Yeah, I mean, Hensford are probably the definition of a team who are probably on the beach, aren't they? So You know, for what Warren, there's always, you know, no matter which league you look at, there's always a team, isn't there, who comes from nowhere and has a surge and surges up the table and you know, threatens those playoff places. And Warrington have been that team this season. They've done brilliantly. And their home form is unbelievable. 13 wins at home out of 19 is sensational. So, you know, they'll definitely fancy their chances of carrying that on.
Hence, side who, like you say, who are, I'm sure, attention is already turning to next season and what they can do next season.
Absolutely. And we should just mention Workington as well. I mean, Workington have had, we've been saying it numerous times, and we had John Walsh on last week. They've been up and down like a yo-yo, but they are... sixth at the time of the season when it's really important that you're sixth. You're in the slipstream of the likes of Spennymoor, of Warrington. They've got a tricky game, though, away at Colville this weekend. But Workington, everyone says it, if they make the playoffs, with the experience they've had over recent years in the playoffs, they are going to be contenders. But they have to get in the playoffs to be contenders.
Yeah, absolutely. Probably the dark horses, aren't they? If they were to get in there, they'd probably be the dark horses to do something, because it's always a tricky place to go and play. Interesting game, though, that one, because Colville, they had a huge win in midweek, didn't they? You know, if we go by the 50-point rule, they're 3 points away from it. So, you know, they could get there this weekend, which will definitely make them safe.
And lastly, but not least, and we're going to hear from Alan Armstrong now, the manager at Blyth Spartans. It's Blyth Spartans, league leaders against Rushall. Welcome back to the show, Alan Armstrong, manager at Blyth Spartans. We're going to come to this weekend's match with Rushall Olympic in a second or two, but just your views from Tuesday night. I watched it in person. I thought it was two well-matched sides playing at it in the rain and four cracking goals.
Yeah, it was a good game, to be fair. I knew Nantwich were a decent side and we'd done a little bit of work on them, and I decided to go on with a different to what we normally do, which was a back three and a with the wing backs in the first half, and tried to nullify their wingers to an extent, which I think we've done. But it was freeing up their full backs, which I had to change in the second half. And I think a draw in the end was probably a fair result, because I think two good teams going at it, like you said, and created numerous chances. Just, I think we could have nicked it with the offside goal that I think could have been given, to be fair.
How important was that draw? I mean, Nantwich going into that, because they had the game in hand, it felt like they got in the back of their mind they could catch you if they got a positive result. So how important was it to cancel them out in a way?
Yeah, it was massive. We knew what was at stake. We knew that we had to try and keep them at arm's length, because it gives them a massive boost. If they'd won the game, it was down to 7 points and then they had a game in hand. So if it was me in their position, I would have went for it like they did. And we just had to make sure we kept them at bay. And I thought we'd done that. And I thought we created numerous chances to see the game through. But they're a good side, and I think it'll be tough for anyone. It's still not over yet. We've still got 7 games to go. So it's going to be a little bit of a battle for the run-in. But we're quite confident and quite happy with the position we're in.
And what fabulous goals as well they were from Luke Armstrong on the night.
Yeah, he's been flying recently. I think he's got 7 in his last 5 games, and the kid's flying at the minute. His first goal I thought was outstanding, the way he took it down the line and opened his body up and bent it in the far corner. And then the second one, his link-up player was Dan Maguire, and a great reverse ball, and he took it ever so calmly. I was expecting him to have a shot, and he just rolled it round the goalkeeper and just slotted it in. It was fantastic.
Now then, let's look to the month of April then. It's a very pivotal month for most sides, but in particular for Blyth Spartans. And you've got this weekend, you've obviously got Rushall Olympic, then you've got Stafford, and then for a quirk of the fixtures, you've got Rushall Olympic again. How are you playing this over the next few weeks then? Because like you say, it's 7 games left.
We've not played any different the way we have been playing. Once we've got they know what's required, the way we play. The lads have took everything on board. They've just got to go out there and try and win a game of football, and we're taking one game at a time, trying to pick up the 3 points and take it from there.
And it's just a question I'm going to ask you as well. I mean, last year, obviously, Blyth Spartans got sucked into the playoffs. How relieved would you be if you didn't have to go up through the playoffs this season? Because it's looking likely that whoever's going to get in the playoffs, it's going to be the most competitive I've ever known it, to be honest.
Yeah, like when I first come in, I said I just wanted to get promoted. It didn't matter what, where we are. But you've got to look at the position we're in, and we've got to try and stay out there and play us without the shadow of a doubt. But we've got four home games, which I think are winnable to us the way we're playing. And I think that might be enough. The 12 points might be enough to get with it. But if we end up in the playoffs, It's just my foremost and biggest thing I want is to try and get promoted. And we'll be disappointed, definitely. But as long as we get there in the end, I'm not bothered how we'll do it. But in the position we're in, we've got to be quite confident with how we are now.
Well, Alan Armstrong, thank you for braving it and coming on the show at this pivotal time of the season and crucial time of the season. We've not jinxed you in the past. You've always won the next game, so I've got no doubt in my mind. But Alan Armstrong, thanks for coming on the show, taking the time out your busy day, and wish you the best of luck in the month of April. So those are the thoughts there of Alan Armstrong, manager at Blyth Spartans. It's the last fixture we're going to talk about here, John. Blyth Spartans against Rushall. I don't think anyone could stop Blyth Spartans now, can they?
No, I don't think so. I think the result in the week probably just, if there was any doubt, it probably sealed it. I think away to the nearest rivals and get a point was a big result for them. The model of consistency all season, haven't they? They've been the best side in the division. And that stunning run of form, at the start of the year just took them away from absolutely everybody. So I see them taking another step. And like you say, I'm sure Nantwich will do all they can to apply as much pressure as possible. But yeah, Blyth champions for me.
Job well done. Thank you for coming on the show for this week's fixture preview. Just a quick plug for all the work you do covering Corby, Kettering and Rushton and Diamonds, and as well as all the non-league scene out there in Northamptonshire.
Yeah, we have the Northampton Telegraph, which is out every Thursday, and then we have our website, which is www.northamptontelegraph.co.uk, which is updated frequently, daily, with news from all the clubs, and you can follow me on Twitter at John Dunham NT, where I'm usually quite active.
Well, John Dunham, you have a lovely weekend. Wrap up warm and have fun.
And you, Ben. Thanks a lot, mate.
Well, that's it for this week's Evo Stick Extra. We hope you've enjoyed this week's edition. We'll be back next week, returning to the Heat and Hops for this month's Evo Stick NPL show. But remember, in the meantime, you can follow the show on Twitter. That's at NPL Show. And you can get involved with all the discussions and chatter on the old internet. That's at facebook.com/groups/ the NPL. A big thank you to Nantwich Town this week for their wonderful hospitality on Tuesday evening, and a big thank you as well to the media teams at Spennymoor Town, Colville Town and Stafford Rangers. And a big thank you to all my guests this week for joining me. But that's it for me for this week's show. A big thank you to you, dear listener, for joining me this week. I've been Ben Hughes, and wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your Evo Stick NPL side, make sure that you have fun. Goodbye.
With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.